Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, July 3rd. It's actually Tuesday, and it is bustling around the office, so you may hear some background noise. It's all good. Just means progress. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12 today. Each of the passages that we are reading has given me joy and hope. And I pray that today that these hope-filled words will give you a sense of the Lord's presence with you, and that you'll be reminded that the Holy Spirit is the one who is teaching us from God's Word. As I read 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 12, I want you to think about the Trinitarian nature of this passage, that God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all mentioned in this passage. And also, I want you to think about the hope-filled message for those of us who are near death, or for anyone who has lost a loved one, even for ourselves, as we entrust ourselves to the hope of Jesus who has been resurrected from the dead. This hope about the inheritance that we have in heaven. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. When they spoke of the things that have now been told to you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Wow, talk about a jam-packed passage. It starts out by talking about praising God the Father and Jesus Christ, because God the Father, in His mercy, has given us new birth through the living hope, who is Jesus, the firstborn from the dead, the resurrected Jesus Christ. And because Jesus Christ was resurrected, we have this inheritance. Do you remember what it says about our inheritance? It never will perish, spoil, or fade, and it's kept for us in heaven. The end of this passage is very encouraging and curious as well. It talks about the Spirit of Christ in the prophets of old. Think about Isaiah, who was writing about this suffering servant, the Messiah who was to come, and he didn't see the picture fully or clearly. And yet it was revealed to Isaiah and other prophets that they were sharing this message, not for themselves, but for those in the future who would see Jesus or be taught about Him, and then they would be able to line up the prophecies of old with the life of Jesus as one more confirmation that Jesus is Lord. The last thing I want to say about this passage, although it's going to come back up in the prayer at the end, is that salvation or the hope of salvation, the sure, expectant hope of salvation should fill us with inexpressible and glorious joy. So that's my prayer for you today, that you would have joy in Jesus. Okay, I'm talking way too much, and we have a lot to read in Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 24, where Jesus sends out the 72. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them, two by two, ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is offered to you, heal the sick who are there, and tell them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it." I love when passages connect. Man, this passage and the passage from 1 Peter connect in that the disciples are blessed because they're seeing the prophecy come to fruition in Jesus. And that last verse reminds us that there were many prophets, many kings like David, who wanted to see, but it wasn't the right time. But in the fullness of time, Jesus appeared, and these 72 disciples who were going out were so blessed to be in the presence of the Lord. And we're so blessed to have these words recorded in Scripture. This passage is also a testimony to hospitality. Jesus was sending these people out into homes, and he says, "Go into someone's house and say to it, 'Peace to this house.' And if they promote your peace, then your peace stays with them. thought that was really interesting. And then in verse 8, it says, when you're welcomed to town, eat whatever is offered to you. When I lived in Mexico, this was kind of scary. One, I have a big fear of mustard. I'll tell you that story another day. But also, you never know where you're going to get served. And so I learned a missionary prayer. It's kind of a joke, but it was said often in truth. It says, Lord, I'll get it down if you'll keep it down. So that's a prayer that probably these disciples had to pray as they entered into new territories and unfamiliar things, unfamiliar foods. All right, we need to move on. So much more I want to say about that, but let's go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 has some wonderful verses in it. I bet you'll recognize them. They could really be our prayer to close out the day. And maybe we should do that. Lord, I'm just going to pray these verses over my brothers and sisters. I thank you for their presence in my life, and I ask, Lord, your blessings upon them. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Father, we want to trust in you, the Lord, with all of our hearts. Help us not to lean on our own understanding. In all our ways, may we submit to you. And you are the one who makes our path straight. Help us, Lord, not to be wise in our own eyes. Help us to fear the Lord and shun evil. That's from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. And also, Lord, I pray according to 2 Timothy 2:7 that you would give all who listen insight into what your word says, and that you, Lord, would empower us as you did the 72 as we go out to share the good news about you. Would you miraculously empower us also to understand your word by your Spirit? Finally, we thank you for the hope-filled words for those of us who long for heaven and long for the day when you will make all things new. We bless you, Lord, and praise your name, for you hold for us there an inheritance that will not spoil, fade, or perish. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.